Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series Show. We are live in studio today with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones leading our discussion. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It is great to be here. It is early for us. We're usually an afternoon show, but we switch things around. And so here we are talking about Jesus Life Coach and the principles of balance. This week we're looking at what it means for your yes to be yes and your no to be no. You open this chapter with that scripture reference out of James chapter 5, verse 12. Talk to us a little bit about your interpretation of that. You start the book talking about what you feel Jesus intended by that passage.
Well, certainly it was James that said it, but I'd always been taught that it means integrity, you know, keeping your word. If you say yes, you're going to do it. If you say no, you're not going to do it. But as I have done a lot of work in corporations and helping people role play difficult conversations, it just seems to me that the real meaning of the word is to be brief, be bright, and be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about that the more words there are, the less clarity there can be.
Mm-hmm.
And politicians are great at that, you know, giving long speeches and all that other stuff, but they can't just get to the heart of what they really are trying to say. And
I have a problem with that.
Yeah. It's like, what do you mean? Just tell me what you mean. So let your yes be yes and your no be no also means that you have clarity about what it is you need to say and do. And you know, I talked too about the lizards, how the lizards, the longer the tail, the easier it is to step on it and capture them. And so as you're talking with people, the more you try to say why you're doing this or da-da-da-da-da, the more opportunities there are for them to kind of derail you or sidetrack you or get you going in other directions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the chapter is have to justify yourself no longer. You know, Jesus didn't have to say why he did a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
He just did them.
Right. You talk about one weakness of justification is that the multiplication of words that you just described. And you use a word in this process called, I'm going to say this right, I hope, obfuscation.
Mm-hmm.
And you define it as muddy water, not living water. That was such a great way to get the image of that. And so what you're talking about is, you know, clarity here, right?
Right.
So the yes and no is very clear. How often does that happen in teams and organizations?
Well, I'm like a lot of people, and I love CSI shows and NCIS and Law and Order,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they in the book, the TV show Lie to Me, that was another one,
mm-hmm.
where they talk about how people, the longer their story is, when you ask them a simple question, the more they've had to prepare that it's a lie.
Mm.
So if you say, where were you on the night of da da da, and they say, well, I was actually at a movie with my friends, and then we went to dinner, and I punched in at 12:13, and so that became, instead of trying to, you know, narrowing their suspicion, it raises the suspicion of the authorities because they're thinking this person has done too much preparation for a question that could be answered in a single sentence.
Sure. Wow. When we look at this chapter and this principle in the balance section here, it's, you know, I think it's a great place for it to sit in balance. How do we gain that kind of balance? How do we gain that ability to yes and no? You know, or does it feel like we're being abrupt if we're, you know, we just give a quick response and we're not willing to sit in dialogue and, you know, unpack it and, you know, stretch it out across the universe before we decide what it is?
Well, fires are really, it comes naturally, the yes or no dynamic, because they tend to see things in black or white.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really easy for a fire to say yes or no and really mean it. Waters, very challenging because it could be yes and wins. Very challenging because it could be yes for right now, but it might turn into a no when something changes in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And the earths, I think, are easier also with the yes or the no answer. So I think that one thing to look at is personality-wise, who you're dealing with to try to get clarification instead of justification.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's beautifully said. Very, very beautifully said. There's, you know, some great questions in here. When and where do you find yourself justifying your actions, and would you say this is a sign of strength or weakness? Wow. Talk to us about that.
Well,
and what do you mean exactly? Is justifying a strength or is justifying a weakness? I think is what you're asking, right?
Well, I think explanation. There's a difference between justification and explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And studies have shown that if you need to make a difficult decision, if you tell people why, you'll get more understanding. So that's an explanation. A justification is, I think, has a little bit, a hint of blame or deflection in it.
Mm.
Like I shared with you last night about them tracking a stolen iPad from a TSA employee at the airport. And, of course, he was saying no, he didn't have the iPad. And the reporters who had set up their own sting operation had a tape of him actually lifting the iPad out of the security bin. And then they tracked it to his house, and he said no, he didn't have it, he didn't know anything about it. Then they set off the alarm that said it was in his house, and they could hear the alarm. And then he said his wife took it. I mean, it was just so quick to flip that on someone else. And it's human nature. I mean, Adam did it in Eve, you know, the story of Eve. We're always looking for someone else to blame. I did this because that happened to me in my childhood or whatever. So there's a lot of muddy water instead of just getting straight to the accountability of it and owning the problem. And then you can get better at it or move on with it.
Right. You talk in this chapter about doing role-playing and as kind of an exercise to get to the yes or no. Can you share a couple of those, or maybe just one? There was a very clear one with a doctor and a patient, and then also a vice president and a board member that needed to make decisions. And you often I've seen you do this with other people and also with myself. Well, let's role play.
Mm-hmm.
And talk to us about that. I mean, is that the exercise that strengthens that effectiveness and that tool? So explain it a little bit to your listeners.
Well, role playing is really a great way if you are facing a difficult conversation to have someone role play it with you so that you can see where you're going to go. And then if they role play either the child or the mother or the spouse or the boss or the employee, you can see how quickly it can go off track.
Right.
So the role play with the doctor is, and this happened with my mother, that the doctor wanted her to have a procedure that she didn't want to have, but everybody's afraid to talk to doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually role played that, and she was able to stand up to him, and instead of him saying, you know, he was saying, well, if you don't like it, you can go somewhere else, you know, or well, I'm the doctor here, and she said, well, yes, and it's my body.
Yeah.
And it's my decision.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing beforehand what you're going to do, then they're not going to, you know, there's different ways to try to throw you off. There's the stink bomb. There's the the threat of excommunication. There's storming off, and particularly fires are great at you know, threatening to quit or walk off the job or whatever. So I think understanding elementally people's style can give you so much more of a leeway in having difficult conversations. And role-playing is, you know, you take the part of the other person and talk back and forth and talk about different scenarios, because people know how to push your buttons. And if I think the story in the board, the person that needed to be fired was a personal friend, a board member.
Right, right.
And so when the CEO was having the conversation, this friend would say, well, I don't think, you know, Jimmy Bob would feel the same way about that. And so the CEO would go into fear because the board member was sort of his boss too, and so he'd back off. So we role-played what that might look like and, of course, encouraged him to have a conversation with Jimmy Bob about the situation prior, to, so he had information going in into the conversation.
What percent of situations do you think we just think about inside our head and we never talk to anyone else about it?
Oh, yeah, 80%.
Yeah, stays captured or contained.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put ourselves into a situation and we think we've thought through it clearly and have been strategic even maybe about it. But then we get into that situation and it's really not, we haven't really thought about it at all,
mm-hmm.
or at least from someone else's perspective. And so I'm wondering about this in light of teams that we work with and that use your tools and particularly the profile, if there is, something, I'm just looking at the decision matrix right now, thinking about from an elemental perspective how to integrate that kind of process. And I think you do this in the team session a little bit. You bring the winds up to sell to an earth committee.
Right.
So it is a powerful tool, and I'm just sitting here thinking about how it could be even more powerful. Because I think, even though this passage is very, very, in James is very short, let your yes be yes and your no be no, getting to there, takes some kind of practice and skill set that I don't think we just normally get.
Right.
In our everyday worker world.
Right. Well, children are naturally gifted in obfuscation and justification, and I'm remembering my nephew, who I will not name, but fighting his little brother. I think he was 3, and his little brother was like 18 months old, and bit him hard.
Mm.
And he must have been old enough to talk, because he talked. And my sister went to him, and she said, "Why did you bite your little brother?" And he said, "I didn't bite him. These teeth did." Of course, he's now an attorney, and so he's paid to split hairs like that.
Uh-huh.
But, just being able to separate yourself from the act that he knew was going to get in trouble. But back to the elements, it really does help to know what people's values are, where they're coming from, and appeal to that with clarity. Know going in what you want to have happen in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. I think you pointed out earlier that it's easier for fires to use the yes and no, and not as easy for waters,
right?
To be that clear. But sometimes when I think about water, I think about it being clarity.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that about?
Well, they're clarity about inclusiveness.
Mm.
The clarity is around inclusiveness. I see all sides of this pencil, and I see it clearly. And the fire doesn't see it. It only sees the part it can burn.
Right. So then, because of that, it's hard and no, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, I'm saying that. So the fires need to understand from a water's perspective that if they talk to them about their values and they show how doing this, giving this yes or no answer will help the waters get to what they value, they're going to get the yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think about water, it naturally wants to flow towards something.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to make sure that it's flowing towards something that is of value.
Well, that's powerful. Well, I am certainly going to practice some of this let your yes be yes and your no be no, but, side note there, from the perspective of the decision matrix, I think that is another piece, for me maybe to insert into that. So this has been very helpful.
Great.
To talk to you about today. Thank you so much, Lori, for your insight and for the book and keeping us on track in the world of balance. I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, Shelley.
All right. Thank you.